is how God does it. I was thinking about that just the other day, and I think we even told y'all about that some time back. But y'all remember when they called us in with Sister Nora and said, we're going to pull the plug. And they pulled the plug on Sister Nora. I'll gather around bed and pray with her. They pulled the plug, and then they said, we're going to have to move her to another room because she won't die. They kept moving her to different rooms, and finally they let her out. I mean, it was just wild. And then Sister Ireland, what was her first name? Can't think of Ireland's. Mickey Ireland. Yeah, Mickey Ireland. When they had her up in intensive care, her daughter and them had us doing the funeral. We were making funeral arrangements. And I went in there and they said her kidneys were shutting down, everything was shutting down. And we walked in to see her before they pulled the plug. And I said, Sister, she was looking very distraught. And I said, because she was still conscious. And I said, what's going on? And she had all this stuff down her throat. And I said, you're not ready, are you? You're not ready to go, are you? She said, uh-uh. I said, well, then don't go. I just thought, just don't go. You know, and I come back in, and we were still making funeral arrangements and trying to get pallbearers and all that. And a couple hours later, we asked the doctor, said, oh, have you decided when to pull the plug? He said, pull the plug. He said, her kidneys started working. Said everything she had started working, and said, and the next day she was out of intensive care. God's in control. All these you hear about, you know, you hear about them overseas because that's where the faith is really the strongest, it seems like. But it's happening over here too, and I'm pretty sure all of y'all can tell about somebody that they said it was over, and then it wasn't over. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. Amen. That's right. I heard another study several years ago where I think it was over a 5-year period, maybe 10. They took people in a hospital, and one part of the patients, all with the same kind of stuff going on, they took a part that new people were praying for them. Then they had another part that people were praying for them and they didn't even know it. And then they had a part that nobody was praying for. They didn't want it. So here you go. You got the people that wanted prayer. And we're getting it. Those that didn't even realize they were getting it, but they were getting it. People were interceding for them. And then they had people that got nothing at all. And it was amazing because the people that knew it, they were just miraculously coming out well above the person getting nothing, no prayer. But what was even more awesome was the people that were being prayed for didn't even know they were being prayed for. Their rates were higher than the people not being prayed for. Prayer works. Yeah, I want the real prayer. Amen. Get your Bibles out. This is a two-parter, or I suppose it's a two-parter. This morning, it ties in, although it's not like this morning, it ties in with this morning. Remember, this is the year that of getting back in there, a year of restoration, a year of buckling down the hatches and getting ready for what God's getting ready to do, because it's a very special year. And I honestly, deep down inside, don't think we're going to celebrate 2016 here. I think we're going to celebrate it up there. And when we get there, it won't matter. I really believe the rapture's so close. Look at all the stuff that's happening. It's just happening too close and too much is going on for me to believe anything different. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. Y'all can remain seated. Anybody tell y'all looking good tonight? Y'all kind of scattered out, so I don't know if anybody can tell you. But, you know, look to the person next to him and say, you're looking good in the eyes of the Lord. That's cool. That's a good idea. That's awesome. That's faith. That's faith. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. That's right. Whatever it was you were doing, don't stop it. Amen. Well, have you ever heard there's no atheists in foxholes? I've heard that before. I had a pastor that had been in the Air Force for like 20, 25 years, and he was flying in the B-52 one day, and he said, it's already gargantuous, this B-52. And he said, even when it's just flying normal, the wings are doing like this. He said, because they're so big. And he said, one night we were going through some of the most severe turbulence. He was the head of the flight crew. And he said, they were having a bad, bad experience. They thought the wings were going to break off that thing. And he said, he had two atheists on his flight crew. And he said, as things got worse, he began to look for his crew to make sure everybody was accounted for. And he couldn't find two of his crew members. And they were the two atheists. And so they went looking. And then one of the fuselages somewhere around, he said there was two atheists on their knees saying, God, please. God, please help us. God, please help us. So it's amazing how, again, when you get under certain kind of stress and strain, you know, God, as a matter of fact, you hear people when you tell somebody a bad thing, something that's happened. Well, that's usually one of the first things they say, whether they're atheists, whatever they are. That's one of the first things people will say when they're shocked, something's happening, something's rough. They say, "Oh my God." There's gonna be prayer. That's right. There's gonna be prayer in school. That's right. All right. Yes. Yes, he did. That's right. That's right. All right. Here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. This may be you tonight. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure it's being you. If it's not you tonight, it's being you. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace, your mercy. I thank you, God, that you have all power, all authority. You've got everything in ultimate control. And Father, we know, Lord, that the devil, no matter how strong and how powerful he is, he still has to bow a knee to you. And we thank you for that, Lord. We ask you right now, Lord, to touch, to anoint in a very powerful way. The Bible tells us that when Satan left heaven, he took 1/3 of the angels with him. Well, if that's 1/3, then God still got 2/3, so he still got him out. Father, we thank you, Lord. You're so powerful. ask you right now, Lord, to minister mightily this night to us and through us, and we'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. You know, life is a continuous effort. Amen. Sometimes you can say life is a continual struggle. How many here has had struggles this week? How many has had struggles today? Amen. I mean, at times it seems like our struggles are holding hands. You ever felt like that? They're holding hands because you think you're going from one to the other and from another to another. It's like, Lord, is there ever going to be any calm in this storm? It feels like there's always something going on some way, somehow, somewhere. It's like having five kids. You think once one situation's calmed down with one set of kids and their family, here comes another kid with their problem. And every time you think they got their problem solved, here comes another kid with their problem. And then with all those grandyoungers, there's always one of them always having a conflict, a problem, sick, or something. And it just seems like, so I look at them and I think about how we, fighting Satan, always go into battle. Matter of fact, we're always in battle. Do you know there's never a time, honestly, that you're to take your armor off? You should have your sword drawn at all times because you never know when you're going to need it. Amen. Satan is fighting with everything he's got. And I've heard people, not just here, but I've heard people in my family, and I've heard people, friends, just like my brother-in-law just lost his mother a couple weeks ago. And then one of my good friends, he died the day after Christmas. And the family, they're glad that he's with God, and they know he's with God, but they're also sad because they lost his presence. And so I hear this, but I talk to these people, and I find out that a lot of people I've talked to have had a tremendous amount of struggles this year. 2014, you could say, to many people, was the year of struggle. Amen? How many could say, hey, I'll take some stock in that one? Yeah, I understand. I'm not trying to talk negative. I'm not trying to talk bad, but it was a year of struggle. And with this struggle coming along, Satan likes us when we find ourselves in this kind of struggle, when he finds these things going on, then at these times he wants to just want us to just lay it down and to call it quits. Or just back off. A lot of times it's felt, well, until we were really working hard for God, we weren't having these problems. Yeah, you were, but you didn't notice them. And then when you start working for God harder, he's going to clamp down harder because he does not want you working for God. And so Satan's plan is, when these struggles come, his plan is to watch you cool down and watch you back down, even call it quits. But you know, it's at times like these that God doesn't say back down and quit. It's at times like these, God says take up your bed and walk. It's like times like these that God says face the wall and shout. It's in times like these when you face the giant who brags on his ability, you're so to say you come here with a sword, a spear, and a shield, but I'm come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. God is still in control. Amen? God is still in control. You know, we're talking about healings, and one of the most awesome healings I can remember where the doctor wouldn't even admit to it was there was a guy in my church in Williamston. He called me to the hospital. He said, Pastor, they say that I'm in trouble. He said, I've got an obstructed bowel. And they said, if I don't get an operation by tomorrow, I could die. And I said, well, what's going on? He said, I went in there and they've done the x-ray. And he said, I just need somebody to come pray for me. I said, okay, I'll be up there. And on the way into the hospital, he said, they took the pictures. And he said, I have an obstructed bowel. They got to go in and cut this part out. And so, on the way in the hospital, as I stepped in the elevator, just as plain could be, I heard a voice say, tell him I'm going to heal him today. And it shook me. As a matter of fact, it shook me so bad because it went again. He was on the second floor and I went to the third floor. And I was hearing these voices. This voice kept going in my head. Tell him I'm going to heal him today. I got out of the elevator and I kept hearing that voice. And I didn't want to make light of the voice because I knew it was God speaking to me. I knew it was. But at the same time, you know how you don't want to say something like the doctor already said he needs operation or he's going to die. And you do want to be doing something that winds up killing him or whatever. So I walked in, I'm sitting in his room. He's got these tubes in his nose. He's got IVs in his arms. and this stuff is running and all kinds of stuff's going on around him. And I walked up to him and he said, "Don't touch me. I hurt that bad." And he said, his whole insides were about to kill him up here, but he didn't even want me to touch him on his arm. "Don't touch me." I said, "Okay." And I go to sit down beside his bed and I hear the voice again. "Tell him I'm going to heal him today." And I sit there and talk with him for a little while, and he's crying because he's in so much pain. And the guy's right at maybe 35, 40 years old. And as I'm talking to him, he says, "The doctor still took the pictures and showed me and says, I'm in bad shape, bro." He said, "I'm going to go out of here if I don't get this operation." And I heard the voice again, "Tell him I'm going to heal him today." So I just went up, stood up by his bed. And I said, "Can I tell you what God's told me ever since I've been in this hospital, all the way up the elevator, and has talked to me over and over again, and has told me two or three times since I've been in your room?" He says, "What has he told you?" He said, "Told me to tell you that he was going to heal you today." And the guy just said, "Bring it on." And we go pray. And as we're praying, he starts crying again. But this time it's a different kind of crying. It's not a cry of pain. It's a cry of joy. And he raises his hands. And when we get through praying, he said, "It's done." And I said, "How do you know it's done?" And he took his hand and he slapped so hard on his belly. I couldn't even touch him before. He slapped his belly two or three times and said, "God healed me today." And he said, "You know what?" He said, "This morning, I asked God to send somebody up here that had faith like me that would say, that would come up and pray, because he said, I believe God, you could do it today." So they come up and take another x-ray that day, that night, because they're going to operate on him in the morning. When they take the x-ray, they called a surgeon. And they told the surgeon, said, "You can't operate on this guy." He said, "Why?" He said, "Because his bowel does not look like it's been obstructed at all. Matter of fact, it looks clean in there. It's just awesome." And so the surgeon looked at it. And so the surgeon sent him home. He said, "I want to see you just like on a Wednesday. So I want to see you Friday in my office." So he comes in Friday in his office. And the young man says, "How'd you like my x-rays?" And the doctor says, "I don't know what to think." And he said, "It was a miracle." And the doctor says, "I don't believe in miracles." He said, "You're looking at one. Look at the two x-rays." He said, "I don't know what to think. You must have some kind of virus that made it look like that." He said, "No, doc, you told me I was going to die, and God fixed it. Look at there." And so the doctor, still, as he walked out of his office, would not admit to the miracle. That's okay, because the guy still walked around today and he's not having a problem with his belly. Matter of fact, he spreads the word. So yeah, I'm not worried about him at all. But here, I don't know. I would have made him think. That's awesome. That is awesome. I don't know about this doctor. I have no idea, but I know that last time I heard, he was still denying that it was a miracle. But that's okay, because I honestly believe that God showed him more stuff like that. And I believe that this doctor's a believer. I got to believe it somehow or another, because I don't think you can see all those miracles and not believe it. They asked Oral Roberts one day, said, why do you think God uses you so much to heal the sick? He said, why do you think it is? And he said, well, he said, there's one thing I discovered before God started using me in this way. He said, I fell in love with sick people. And he said, when I fell in love with sick people, he said, God used me to help the sick. So that was just I just threw that in there. That was just pretty cool what he said. Okay, so struggle. We're going to talk about a couple things tonight, and then we're going to talk about some more things next week. So I won't keep you long. Struggle. If you're going through struggle tonight, if something's happening to you tonight, some of y'all have heard me say this. I've said this statement so many times over the years. I can't think of how many times I have said this statement. Here's something I want you to remember. If you're going through a struggle tonight, number one, it is a sign. It is a big sign that there's still life in you. Amen? It's still there. There's potential in you. You're not dead. You're not laying down. I mean, I'm glad to think on Thursday night, unless something happens between now and Wednesday night, if something happens on Wednesday night, I'm going to thank God that He brought me through the year. Amen? Amen. God's done. Listen, if you're going through something tonight, remember this, there's still life in you. Satan sees the potential. He doesn't know all you can do, but he sees the potential, and he would like to shut it down before you actually got a chance to let God use you in that potential. He said we're troubled on every side. That word trouble means squeezed to the point of suffocation. He said we're squeezed to the point of suffocation on every side. Meaning they're squeezed physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally. Have you ever felt like that? You're squeezed every way you can think about it. You can't think. You're having a hard time sleeping because of the struggle. And you're thinking that you're going down. I'm here to tell you something. Satan is trying his best to get you to believe you're going down. You're not going down. God's going to do something special for you. God's going to raise you up. Remember this morning, although a righteous man falls seven times, he gets back up. Praise the Lamb of God. God's got something special for you. So if you're going through something, don't think. And another thing, too, is don't think the person beside you don't go through anything. I guarantee you, if everybody in here was just to open up their briefcase of struggles, you'd go, wow. I had no idea. So trouble on every side, squeezed to the point of suffocation, and perplexed, but not in despair. Troubled on the outside. Distress means on the inside, which means depression. So they're troubled on the outside. They're depressed on the inside. But God is still God. And Satan has yet to come up with a weapon that can outdo God. Amen? You know something they discovered about a year ago? It's amazing to me. We already knew it. They knew that life reproduced itself in trees and life, or animals and plants, life would reproduce itself, but they never could have figured out. And a year or so ago, they found something called the God gene. The God gene. Y'all heard about that? So now all of a sudden, the scientists have said, oh, now we know! I knew a long time ago. Genesis 1:1, God said, let it be, and it was. Long before Paul McCartney said, let it be, God said, let it be. Amen. And it was. So first, if you're struggling tonight, it's a sign that there's still life in you, there's still potential, there's still breath, and God is wanting to use you, and Satan is wanting you to quit before God can use you. Number two, I told you I'm going to do two tonight. Number two, if you're struggling tonight, it is a sign that Satan does not have you. Y'all do that with me. If you're struggling tonight, it's a sign that Satan does not have you yet. Because if he had you, he would be struggling so hard. So first he sees your potential, and now he's got a problem. I love this. 2 Kings 6:8-10 says, then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servant, saying, in such and such a place shall my camp be. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place where the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there. Not once, nor twice, meaning many, many times. Every time the Syrians tried to get the king of Israel, God used his prophet to go against him and tell him where he's going to be at. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto him, "Will you not show me which one of you in this room is for the king of Israel?" None of his servants, and one of his servants said, It's not us, Lord, O king, but it's Elisha, the prophet that's in Israel. He telleth the king the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. I tell you something. God cannot be snuck up on. Come on. You cannot sneak up on him. You may sneak up on me. I may sneak up on you. But Satan cannot sneak up on God. So God knows what's going on. God knows. He said, "Don't you know I'm going to tell my prophets what's happening before it happens?" See, you cannot sneak up on him. So if you cannot sneak up on him, then why are we worried when things are going crazy? When we're going through struggle? It's new to us, but it's not new to him. He already knew it when he created you. He knew you were going to go through these struggles. You know, and God keeps making a way where there is no way. I love him. I love him dearly, and I thank him. Our God makes a way where there is no way. You can't sneak up on him, and you can't stop him. You know, you've heard me talk about it. You know, the Holy Ghost, God anoints us. And I like to think about it this way. What's so great about the anointing? Have you ever tried to catch a greased pig? Have you seen it? I've seen the kids at the fair try to catch a greased pig. Can't catch it. You know, no matter how hard they squeeze it, that greased pig's going to get away from them. I've seen other things that when you had a dog or something and you were working on it and you had something on it like oil trying to work on it, and the dog did not want you working with it, and the dog would take off and you couldn't catch it. Think about something when you're anointed. When you're anointed by God, when the Holy Spirit is upon you, can you think about this? The devil trying to grab you, and every time he grabs you, think about it. I'm trying to get them, but every time I try to get them, they slip away. Why did they slip away? Because you're anointed with the Holy Ghost. You're anointed with God. God's got you covered. So, two things, and I'm going to talk about Hebrews for a minute. Struggle is a sign that there's still life in you. You got potential. You're not dead. And Satan wants you laying down. Number two, Satan does not have you yet. He's got a problem. He's got to stop you before you realize that with God, you're unstoppable. Amen? So now, turn to Hebrews. Hebrews. There you go. Bless his little heart. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. Hebrews 11. What's Hebrews 11? The hero of what? I mean, the hall. The heroes of what? The heroes of faith. The hall or the roll call of the heroes of faith. These are all these people that come through all the years and how God used them so mightily. The Bible is talking about this too. In verse 13 says, when it's talking about Abraham and it's talking about all these other guys, it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. I like this translation. These people all died controlled and sustained by their faith, but not having received the tangible fulfillment of God's promises, only having seen it and greeted it from a great distance by faith, and all the while acknowledging and confessing that they were strangers and temporary residents and exiles upon the earth. Now, I want you to think about something here. Let's look back at that scripture. This is very powerful. How did these guys face the odds that they had to face? And how did these guys stand up when sometimes, although God gave them a promise, they might not have seen it totally fulfilled yet? How do they keep on standing when things were looking bad. Here it is, four things. And then we're going to pray. First, they had vision. They saw the promises afar off. You know, we have power for today if we have a vision for tomorrow. If I realize that God's not going to drop me, that He can't be snuck up on, that He can't be stopped, if I can realize that, even if I don't hold it in my hand today, if I can get a vision that my God is a mighty God and He's all powerful and He's going to take care of things, then if I can get that in my head, then with vision like that, I can keep on going, although I'm not holding it in my hand yet. Amen? Number one, vision. Y'all say vision. Number two, confidence. They were assured of the promises. They remained optimistic because they wanted, listen, they wanted to see what God was going to do, and they wanted to believe that God was going to do it. And so they had confidence that God was going to do what He said He was going to do. Remember those three trees today? Those three trees they had in their mind, they were going to, one was going to be a treasure chest to carry gold, gold lined. The other was going to be a mighty ship for kings to cross oceans. And the other was just going to point up to the heavens to show people God. And when they got cut down, they thought it was over because when they made them, it was made a manger and made a little bitty boat and made a cross. But you know what? That little bitty manger carried the greatest treasure in the world. That little bitty boat carried the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords across that water. And that cross points people to heaven even today. You may not understand why you're going through what you're going through. You might not even understand the whole process. But understand this. God, if you have confidence in Him, have a vision and have confidence in Him, He's going to work it. Although you may not understand how He's going to work it, He'll work it. Amen? So now, the third word, hunger. Y'all heard that the biggest thing around now, one of the biggest movies is the Hunger Games. You know, and I'm not sure how the Hunger Games work, but I do know that around my house, about 11 o'clock, there's a bunch of Hunger Games. And my brothers and I, we were worse than that. I still have a scar. I'm not sure exactly if I can find it. But my brother stabbed my hand with a fork because I was going after his plate. We were tough, I'm telling you. Hunger. They embraced the promises. They had ownership of what only their descendants would enjoy. They owned it. Although they weren't sure they would actually taste it, they owned it. How many remember Johnny Appleseed? You've heard me tell about Johnny Appleseed. Johnny Appleseed went all over across the Midwest. When they were doing exploring and going over there, he instead stayed home. He didn't feel the call to go yet. He wanted to, but he didn't feel the call to go. He worked in an apple factory or an apple plantation, and he kept all these seeds. And then after he got all these bags of seeds of all these kind of apples, then he started going toward the Midwest, and everywhere he went, he planted apple orchards. You know what? He never tasted any of those apples that he planted. But years later, all those guys on the frontier that came through survived many times because they ate the apples that he planted. That's awesome. You don't realize the stuff you're doing, you don't know who it's going to help. But you keep on doing it because God's going to use it to help somebody. And then that fourth word is resolve. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims. They made their minds up. Their dreams, not their memories, consumed them. Listen carefully. Their dreams, not their memories, consumed them. We can sit back and think about how good it used to be. But I can guarantee you, back when you called it the good old days, when you were going through it, it weren't the good old days. You look back and say, oh man, I wish we could have it like we did back then. Well, back then you didn't like it. Are you consumed by your memories or by your dreams? Are you looking in the rearview mirror or are you looking out the windshield? Remember, if you're going through something tonight, there's still life in you. There's still potential. You're not dead. You're not laying down. Two, Satan does not have you yet. He's got a problem. He's got to stop you before you realize that. But if you'll keep a vision, keep confidence, keep hunger, and keep resolve, guess what? God will do something inside of you. This year is a great year. I just feel so great about it. I keep seeing it. Hundreds. I'm not talking about two or three. I see, and I've been thanking God for it, I see hundreds of kids coming in here. Hundreds. 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 And I see hundreds of families coming in here. Hundreds. When we cut down that tree out there, when we first cut that tree down, I was feeling kind of bad because that was a nice tree and it had been so old, been here for so long. And when we cut the tree down, as soon as I cut the tree down, I looked outside. And when I looked outside, you know what I saw? Parking lot. Wow. I'm telling you. Are you consumed by your memories? Are you consumed by your dreams? This morning, way up here, I thank God. I said, God, I thank you that we're going to be ministering to hundreds of kids and hundreds of families. Walked in, I didn't see hundreds of kids and hundreds of families. But then I walk out going, wow. Nope, I walked out going, it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Watch it. Watch what God's going to do. Let's pray. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. Father, I thank you, Lord, that we don't have to be consumed by our memories, but we can be consumed by our dreams. Lord, that we can have vision, we can have confidence, we can have hunger, we can have that resolve. That we're going through something now because there's still life in us and Satan sees that potential. He's trying to stop us. We're also going through something because Satan knows that he doesn't have us yet. That's a problem. And he knows if we can realize before he gets us just how powerful we are in the power of God. Wow. Lord, help us, Father. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. I thank you, Father. I thank you for all you do for us. I thank you for what you're doing for us right now. In the name of Jesus. You're a powerful God. You're an awesome God. Everything is under control and it's in your hands. Satan can't sneak up on you. You got this. And I trust you with it, Lord. In the name of Jesus. You've got our life. You've got our families. You've got our church. And we trust you. Help us, Lord, to let this year be a year of recommitment, to re-examine our priorities, to step forward and watch you do something very powerful. And we thank you for it right now in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Now we're not having Tuesday night service because we're having Wednesday night service. And if anybody thinks you're crazy because we're going to have a watch night service at 6 o'clock at night, you tell them that the time changes to 12 o'clock. Many hours in front of us, and so at our time, 6 o'clock, 6 hours behind, we're 6 hours behind when the time actually changes. That way, everybody can be here that wants to be here. They won't be stopped by the night being so late. From 6 to 8, if you can't be here at 6, be here when you can. Here's what we're going to do. Bring your favorite finger food. So we're going to have finger foods. And while we're eating our finger foods, I'm just get people to stand up and testify. You don't have to prepare anything unless you just want to, but just stand up and say, here's the things you're going to say. What God did for you last year. Just one thing God did for you last year and what you're going to do for God this year. And that's it. And you can say it in a minute. You don't have to get up and make a long speech. You can just get up and say it in a minute. And then we got some new minute to win it games. So we're going to play some minute to win it. And I hope there's going to be some kids here so the kids can play it too. But, we're going to have one where you stack, three golf balls on top of each other. Or you have a nail and you have to, have a string stretched out and you got to hang 6 nails on that string. There's all kinds of little things. Minute to win it games. Y'all seen minute to win it. And so, but these are going to be some cool games. And so come on out here. And remember, you'll be home when the ball falls in New York because, we've already seen the ball fall at 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock. So it's 5 hours. Yeah. Something like that. I'll get it right in a minute. But at 7 o'clock, and if you like, I'll go get the possum. We'll drop the possum off the roof. Mount Olive, they drop a pickle, so, you know, we'll just drop a possum. We'll be unique. Wednesday night, not Tuesday night, Wednesday night, we're going to have watch night service. Then Sunday morning, regular time. Amen? Just remember, when you're going through something, just say, you know what? It lets me know I'm still alive. I'm still kicking. And it lets me know that Satan ain't got me yet. Amen? You know, I was reading up on Sylvester Stallone when he fought that Russian in that movie. Unless this was some kind of a hoax, this is supposed to be pure facts. Do you know that Sylvester Stallone spent 11 days in intensive care after the second round of that fight scene? He had been in a weightlifting, he'd been in some kind of lifting contest after Rocky II, and he tore some muscles across here. And so when he goes into Rocky IV, he's already got some problems. He goes into Rocky IV, and in the second round, see that Rocky I, they really hit. Rocky II, they didn't. And the critics said, you can see you're not really hitting. So Rocky III, Mr. T, he really hit. Can you tell? Well, in Rocky IV, the Russian, they wanted to really fight. And in the second round, they were going to call it a dog fall or a dog fight or something. And so for the first 20 seconds, they really fought. And Dolph Lundgren popped him in the chest where he had that bad spot. And when he popped him in the chest, he actually bruised his heart. And his heart started swelling. And so he said, we got to do something. And they went to the hospital. And if they hadn't turned to the hospital, he'd have died that night. So I don't want to fight that Russian, even in play. He was a bad dude. Yeah, but still, we're not going to be like Rocky, worrying about being knocked out by the Russian. We've got God with us. God, Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. God, just help me to be more than as much as before, serious with you. It is a serious, serious thing. And God, there's people out there that need us to bring what we've got to them. And Lord, if we don't have anything, all we got is a pretty package with an empty box, we got nothing. Lord, help us bring something. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for this night. We thank you for the chance to be in your house. Lord, worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, we know that you're going to be with us. Let's come out Wednesday and have a good time from 6 to 8 and watch the possum drop. Amen. Jesus, we pray. Amen. The possum. I'm going to get the possum. He's on my desk. What's happening, young lady? Oh, this thing here is still on.